literally in the first verse and figuratively in the last several verses and the last one somewhat figuratively.
Sets the stage for our study tonight. I'm thankful that each one of you is here, whether you made the decision to come conscientiously or instinctively. Some of you will laugh when I say that. So good to see you here. I appreciate the audience, and I just must mention one thing. Today is Brother Homer Davis's 84th birthday, and if I'm not mistaken, aren't there four generations sitting there together on the seat? Four generations sitting together there on the seat. I think that's great. We appreciate Brother Homer and all the ones in the family. I don't mention all the birthdays, but I think that this is a little bit unusual to have four generations sitting together tonight. We're just glad that each one of you came. We were talking about beautiful things. There are just not many things that are more beautiful than to see that rainbow in the clouds, especially in the springtime when there's so much green seen in the grass and the trees just after there's been a thunderstorm, or maybe even in the process of it when the air is being cleaned and made clear again. And then as the sun begins to shine, you look and see all of the colors. One of the most beautiful things that's ever been seen. I've never found the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, but I believe I have found something that's more important than that legendary pot of gold. I have found and know about the reason that the rainbow is there, why it was put there in the first place, and what it continues to say to us today, literally thousands of years after God put it there. God put a rainbow in the clouds. Just before that rainbow was one of the most terrible times that's ever existed in the history of man. In fact, a few years before that rainbow was put in the clouds, God looked at the human race, and the Bible says it repented him that he'd even made man. Man had become so wicked that even the imaginations of his heart were evil continually. God said, I'm going to destroy man. Going to destroy him. But he saw Noah. Noah found favor in his sight. And even you younger boys and girls know the story of how God told Noah to build the ark. And as you sometimes sing, good old Noah built the ark just like God told him to. And after it had rained those 40 days and 40 nights and had brought the flood upon the earth to where all humanity except those eight souls that went into the ark were destroyed, or was destroyed. God then was with Noah and his family until the waters subsided, and he allowed that ark to come and sit on Mount Ararat. And in connection with this, after this had taken place, according to the passage that Randy read earlier, God put his bow in the cloud, the bow that we call the rainbow. And he said, I have decided and I'm going to make you a promise that I will never destroy mankind like this again. I will never bring a flood of these proportions again. And in order to seal that promise, God put his signature, in a sense, in the cloud, in that bowl that you and I call the rainbow. He said, here is the proof. Here is my seal, if you please, that I am making a promise that I will keep forever and will never go back on my word. I'm thankful that God put that bow in the cloud. And I'm thankful that he put it in the cloud so that it continues to be seen today and was not just a one-time event that was recorded in the Word of God. I don't know whether you'd ever stopped and thought about that or not. I would like to have seen what happened at the crossing of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. I would have liked to have seen the greatness of what happened at the lion's den that we sang about a moment ago. And yet the only way I can see those things is through the eye of faith, as I turn to the Word of God and read them and can picture them in my mind, because There's never anything like that happening today that you and I can see. But here's one thing that God put into the sky and put into the cloud to remind us of His promise that continues to be with us today. That's why we could sing that song, all five verses of it there a few minutes ago, where it was talking about Daniel in the lion's den, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and being led into the promised land. I don't know that there was a literal rainbow in the cloud that led the children of Israel, the cloud that we talked about in an earlier lesson. But there was that figurative rainbow in the sense that here is the promise that God has given. I don't remember a lot of things that happened during the presidency of President Carter, just as I don't remember a lot of things that happened during the presidency of others. But there was one statement that President Carter made again and again that I like, especially when we think of it in terms of our Heavenly Father. President Jimmy Carter would say something, and he'd say, and you can count on that. Now, I don't know how true that is with the Democrats or the Republicans or anybody when it comes to politics, or whether you can really count on it or not. But I do know when it comes to God. When God makes a promise, as emphasized by this bow in the cloud, God says, that's it. You can count on that. Tonight I want to talk with you for just a few minutes about six promises that God's made. And every time in the future when you are at a place where there is a rain or a threatening of a shower, and you see that beautiful rainbow in the cloud, let it remind you of those great and precious promises referred to in 2 Peter 1:4. And remember that God is saying with that rainbow, you can count on it. If I make a promise, you can count on it. God made a promise, and I'm summarizing what I'm going to read in several verses. I will establish my kingdom. We might even say that another way. I will send my son to the earth to die on the cross and to purchase the church and establish the kingdom that there may be a way of salvation. He said, I will establish my kingdom. For example, in Isaiah 2:2, he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the way he refers to it here, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Over in the book of Daniel, in the second chapter and verse 44, Daniel refers to this as he speaks the word of God. In the days of these kings, even helping us to identify the time element. He says, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break to pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Joel talked about some of the details of it in Joel 2. Micah, other prophets talked about it, but especially in these places, God said, I will establish my kingdom in the days of these kings, and you can count on it. Jesus, while he was on earth, in Matthew the 16th chapter, verse 18, said, I will build my church. Another way of making the same promise, and even referred to it as the kingdom in the next verse. Today, you and I live at a time when so many people in the religious area are trying to tell us that God could not do what he said he would do. Those who are bold enough to say God sent his son to this earth to establish his kingdom, and that son failed because people would not accept him, and he set up the church as a substitute, and that he's coming again for a rapture and for the battle of Armageddon and for the thousand-year reign, and that he's going to establish his kingdom in the future because he couldn't do it when he said he was going to do it. Back in Psalms, the 89th chapter, in verses 3 and 4 of that chapter, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Later in that chapter at verse 33, he said, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Notice, Think about that promise of the rainbow. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And with triple inspiration, in Acts the second chapter, verse 16, the writer, the inspired writer, Luke, records the inspired speaker, Peter, referring to the inspired prophet, Joel, and he says, this is that which was spoken. Folks, God said, I will establish my kingdom. And he said he would do it in the days of these kings that are being talked about here. Jesus said, I will establish my church and my kingdom. And on that day of Pentecost, following the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter said, this is it. God said, I'll do it. You can count on it. Peter said, this is it. When you look at that rainbow in the cloud that reminds you literally that God will never destroy this earth again with a flood, let it also remind you that it's that same God who said, I will establish my kingdom, and you can believe that he did. Number two, because he established that kingdom, God made the promise, I will forgive your sin. Now, folks, that's one of those great and precious promises. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We say we have no sin or have not sinned. We make him a liar, 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. Sin is the problem that separates between man and God. Sin is what caused that flood back there that brought about the rainbow and the promise. And now, because of the sending of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom, God says to us in many passages, maybe not in just these words, but in this thought, I will forgive. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 verse 7. After saying that some were being translated into that kingdom to which we just referred, Colossians 1 13. Then he talks about the redemption and the forgiveness of sins in the very next verse, verse 14. He admonishes us through Paul in Ephesians 4 32 to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. He promised to forgive us our sins, and Jesus taught his apostles to pray that God forgive us as we forgive others. Of course, that forgiveness is conditional on our turning to God and our being obedient to him. But he teaches, if I understand the teaching of God's word, that he is willing to forgive any sin that we commit, if we're willing to turn our backs on that sin and turn to Jesus Christ, where the answer is, I will forgive. There is a place for the feeling of guilt. Yes, we ought to feel guilty when we've done wrong to turn us in the right direction. But folks, we have more tonight where we can place our trust and more of a foundation where we can stand on a promise than just the feeling of guilt. We can stand on the promise and know that God said, I will forgive. He even said, I won't even remember their sins anymore. Hebrews 8, verse 12, and 10, verse 17, quoting a passage from the Old Testament. I will forgive. There's just not many things that are promised that are worth more than that. You and I have some promises made from each other and in relationships that we have on this earth that are important, but none so as important as that. I will forgive. God put a rainbow in the cloud to prove that he meant what he said. And you and I can think of that when we think of his forgiveness. In the third place, taken out of 1 Corinthians 13, God said, I will make a way. That's where he says there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, notice, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. I personally think we've taken that promise a little bit too far in our expectations, even as we sometimes sing it, that God will find a way for me. I'm sure that in the song we're using poetic license and figurative approach to it, But I think literally sometimes we apply it in a way that's not good, that we expect God to do all the work for us and Him to provide all the things for us. He said, I will make a way. My understanding is that I have to put forth the effort to find it, with His help, of course. But He is saying there, I make you a promise that no matter what happens. How many of those trials and troubles did you notice in some of the songs that we've already sung tonight? With all these difficulties that are there, God put a rainbow in the cloud. To us tonight, that rainbow is the promise that I will make a way. There is a way. Sometimes I may not understand exactly where that way is and how it's going to work out. In fact, I'm persuaded there are some things you and I may not understand this side of the judgment. I appreciated the discussion this morning in the young adult class about evil and suffering and difficulties in this life and the questions we sometimes ask, why me, Lord, and why do these things happen? It is a discussion we need to have. But you know, we can come back as we look at that rainbow in the cloud and know that the God that sealed His promise with that bow has sealed a promise to us and said, I will make a way. No wonder Paul said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He did not say all things would be good, and He did not say how long it would take for that solution to come together. But He said, you can count on it. God said, I'll make a way. Somehow or other, that way will be there. Almost saying the same thing, but maybe in just a little bit different way, there's a promise made in Hebrews 13:5 that we need to remember when we look at the rainbow in the cloud. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How long, God? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, in that same 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul gives a list of all those things that are not powerful enough to separate between us and the love of God. It is true that there's passage after passage in the entire Bible that shows you and I can turn our backs on God and we can leave Him. Yes, we can fall from grace. Yes, we can so sin as to be eternally lost, even as His children. But what the Bible does teach is that God will not forsake us. He will not turn His back on us. There may be few, if any, of us in the auditorium tonight, but who have had the experience sometimes of having a friend turn his back. You thought someone was your close friend. You thought he would stick with you no matter what happened. You thought he had his feet on the ground and he'd be there no matter what came, and yet disappointment when he didn't stick. But when you look at that rainbow in the cloud and remember that it says, from God, I will keep my promise. Remember, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, He didn't say, I won't allow sickness. He did not say, I won't allow problems. He did not say that death will never come. He did not say that there will be no times when you'll shed tears on this earth. He did in that place to come. But He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you can count on it. And then in the 5th place, the God who put that rainbow in the cloud as a seal of His promise to the people at that time says to us, I will come again. It is God the Son who makes that statement as recorded in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's even a part of the promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. As much as we must, because of Scripture, deny that Christ is coming back to set up an earthly kingdom, we must affirm even more so that He is coming back to receive His spiritual kingdom. Of what value would what we're doing today be? Looking toward the eternity, if Christ were not going to return, Oh, there are some benefits that we receive from coming together in an assembly like this that we receive immediately. I believe that's true. But the greatest benefit of being a Christian and associated with Christian people is to look forward and to remember Christ said, I've gone to make a place for you, and I will come again. I will come again. I will return. What's said about him there in that first chapter of Acts, as his apostles were wondering about his ascension, that he will come back in the same manner that he left. Throughout the entirety of the New Testament particularly, again and again, there's something said about Christ is coming back. Sometimes when those whom we love here leave, we don't know whether they're coming back or not. Sometimes they don't come back. But Christ is coming back. You can count on it. Every time you look at that rainbow in the cloud, you can count on it. He'll be back. Whether or not I'm alive or dead, whether I'm one of those and you're one of those who's caught up together to be in the clouds, as talked about there in the Thessalonian letter, or whether we're one of those that come forth from the grave to receive the crown of righteousness, John 5, 28 and 29, 2 Timothy 4, doesn't really matter. The fact is, he's coming again. When he comes doesn't matter. Our being ready and our believing and our preparing for that return makes it possible for us to even live and enjoy this life as we wait for that life that is to come. I will come again. You can count on it. And in that passage there in John 14, it suggested another idea. When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that along with other passages is saying to us tonight a promise of God when he says, I will reward the faithful and the righteous. I will reward those that live for me. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. And that may mean to the point of death, being willing to give our lives, not just physical death. Matthew 10:22 says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not maybe, might, possibly. He says, you live for me, and I promise you, you'll be saved. I promise you there'll be that reward. The righteous shall go away into that reward, Matthew 25:46. Everlasting life. I will provide that reward. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 1 as being an inheritance that is not corruptible and will never fade away, reserved for us. Here again, that passage does not teach that you and I cannot turn away, but it teaches that God won't. It's just like money in the bank. In fact, it's greater than that, because the bank where that is cannot be robbed. It cannot go bankrupt. It cannot have problems. Because God has promised that our inheritance is there and that he will reward. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say at 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. I rather imagine that the Apostle Paul had seen the rainbow in the cloud several times. It may very well have reminded him of promises such as this. When he said, I know that he'll be there to give me that crown of life. What a promise. And you can count on that. God put a rainbow in the cloud. He put it there in the first place to promise that he would not destroy this world again with a flood. And he's kept his promise. And he will keep it. But you and I tonight can let that rainbow say to us as we see it, maybe before this week's over, we'll see that bow again in the cloud. We can let it say, I will establish my kingdom. I will forgive the sins of man. I will make a way for him to escape and to do what he needs to do in the problems of life. I will never leave him nor forsake him. I will come again, and I will take him to live with me in heaven. Thank God. He put a rainbow in the cloud and made those promises. But those of you who are not Christians might ought to shed some tears when you see that rainbow in the cloud. Because these great and precious promises don't mean anything to you. They're meaningful only to God's people. He gave that rainbow back there to those whom he had saved in the ark. And he gives us these rainbows today to those who are saved in the ark of safety, the church of our Lord. The rainbow has little meaning if we're not Christians, except maybe to get our attention and to emphasize to us how important God's promises are. God said, if you believe that I am he, if you repent, if you confess, if you're baptized for the remission of sins, I'll forgive. He said, if you will repent and confess and pray when you make mistakes as a Christian, I'll forgive. He put his rainbow in the cloud to promise that. Friends, you can count on those promises. Perhaps some of you tonight need to make a move in order to take advantage of those promises, especially the one, I will forgive. If in any way you have sins that need to be taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ, remember, God's rainbow proves he'll do what he says. And he will forgive you if you'll come to him, as together we stand and sing. Thank you.